Hi, this is Vancouver Sun City columnist Dan Fumano, and I'm here with fellow Vancouver Sun columnist Daphne Bramham. Daphne, thank you for joining us.
Well, it's my pleasure.
So it's Thursday morning right now, and we are just, I guess, 48 hours away from the general election day for our coming municipal election. What are your thoughts about what kind of a race has it been so far?
Well, I think I'm like just about everybody in Vancouver and Surrey and several other municipalities. This is really tough slogging. I mean, we have so many people running. We have so many choices to make. We have so many different parties, the mainstream parties that we used to rely on to screen candidates to give us an idea of ideologically where they were coming from. They're kind of splintered. So I think like a lot of people, I have some trepidation about going to the polls, and yet I know it's really, really important because, you know, particularly in these races where we're voting, when you're voting for so many council members, the difference in the margins between winning and losing can be 100 votes. It could be less than 100 votes. And so it really, unlike many other elections, every vote really does count. And I think it's important. We're in a region that's facing really some really difficult questions. We've got the overdose crisis. We have a housing crisis. We have a homelessness crisis. And I don't use the word crisis lightly. These are terrible problems. We've got issues of transportation. Out in Surrey, they're talking about having, after years of negotiating to get money for a light rail transit, they've got candidates out there who are talking about dumping light rail. They don't want this. They'd rather have SkyTrain, which would reopen a negotiation. So what we're talking about, this is a really, really important election.
And here in Vancouver, like looking at the Vancouver race, you recently got to spend time with four of the front runners for the mayoral race. I mean, even that on its own is a little bit unusual. Most recent races have been kind of a two-horse race for mayor in Vancouver, or maybe there's a third candidate somewhere in the mix. But this year, it seems like there's a bigger number of legitimate contenders. And you recently spent some time with four of them, Kennedy Stewart, Shauna Sylvester, Ken Sim, and Hector Bremner, and wrote about it in a series of great profiles in The Sun, where you asked each of them, tell me if this is right, you asked each of them to take you to their favorite place in
That's
town.
Right.
So I'd like to hear about how that went. But first of all, I mean, what kind of made you want to do it that way? Like what made you decide to ask them to take you to their favorite place?
Well, you know, I think when you don't, everybody was going to ask them the same questions. Mm-hmm. Everybody was going to ask them the housing questions, the homelessness questions, the, what are you going to do about the downtown east side questions? And, I think to some extent, when you don't have parties, what you really have to look for is you actually almost have to get a character reference. I mean, if you live in a small community, usually you know the people who are running. In a city this size, you're never going to know those people. I mean, one of the great benefits of being, a journalist is we can actually phone up these people and we can go and spend time with them. And so I wanted to create kind of a personal profile of them. I wanted to spend enough time with them that I kind of didn't get the campaign speech. I also started doing it early enough that they hadn't, so they didn't have those campaign lines so ingrained in their heads that they couldn't get off their talking points. And it was fascinating. I have to say that all four of them are very nice people.
They are.
And I think, you know, sometimes we do forget as well that we have such a low opinion sometimes of politicians. All of these people, not just these four, but the 20, I mean, I would say probably all of the 21 people who are running, not that I've met all 21, but they, to even give up the time to run, to campaign, shows a commitment to the city and to your community that is extraordinary. And when you read the profiles and you read which are all online up on the City of Vancouver's website, these are very accomplished people who are taking a lot of time and a lot of thought to do this. But as for the four that I spoke to, part of the reason I wanted them to take me to a favorite place is because I think that says a lot about who you are. So Shauna Sylvester took me to the Sylvia Hotel. Ken Sim took me to the restaurant that he had worked at when he was 15.
The Wooden Shoe.
The Dutch Wooden Shoe on Cambie. And unfortunately, we weren't able to have the famous waffles that day because BC Hydro had an unscheduled shutdown of power.
They have
power.
Great Indonesian food there, too, if you ever go there. The okay. Nasi Goreng and Mie Goreng is great.
So instead of having lunch, we went for coffee on Cambie Street. And Hector Bremner took me to Third Beach, which is a lovely spot, one of my favorite places, actually. And Kennedy Stewart took me to a recording studio where he had, with his band, back when he was a young man, when he first came to Vancouver, he and his band they recorded a hit record there.
And you guys got that photo of him with the great hair from his rock and roll days. Shoulder length, flowing locks. It looked great.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, one of the things too is when you have this chance to speak to them, you do find out a lot more about them than what people can see when they stand up and are really pitching.
Yeah, I mean, as you mentioned, sometimes there is a tendency in the public to sort of think cynically or disparagingly about politicians. But as you say, these people are taking a huge kind of sacrifice from their time. In some cases, they may be taking pay cuts from what they would otherwise be doing to, serve their city, serve their fellow citizens. I mean, just at the top, when you're talking about the challenges facing the city and the region, multiple different crises on housing, homelessness, opioids, dealing with other levels of government, all these challenges. One of the first questions is like, geez, who would want that job? And you think about those things, homelessness and housing have been problems in Vancouver. Vancouver's had drug problems before, but you think about even the last election, not that long ago, 2014, feels like housing was an issue then when Gregor Robertson was running against Kirk Lapointe, was his main challenger from the NPA. Feels like housing was a big issue. But I don't think people were talking about it as a full-blown crisis 4 years ago. And fentanyl deaths and stuff hadn't really become a full-blown crisis 4 years ago, although Vancouver is, you know, there's been problems with drugs and opioids for a long time, but it's a tough time to be the mayor of Vancouver.
Well, it's interesting too. I've spent a couple of hours with Gregor Robertson in the last couple of weeks. I'm doing a profile of him that will run after the election. And, you know, to speak to him about his 10 years in office, it really has been interesting to put it into perspective. As you say, these crises are really, if you look backwards, it seems that they came on slow. They did come on slowly, but really the full blownness of all of these problems has really hit in the last little while. And I think one of the things that's interesting is that although Gregor Robertson is to some extent quite reviled, I mean, everybody keeps still talking about bike lanes, but even though all of these other crises, but the thing is that the answers that what all of the candidates are talking about is really not that different than what Gregor Robertson and Vision tried to do. And when to put all of the blame on the city, or even for all these candidates to take the responsibility for these things, this is not what cities have enough money to do. Much of the blame, the homelessness, the housing, the fentanyl crisis, these are all, and the transportation crisis, frankly, these are all things that show that the federal and provincial governments have been largely missing in action up until the election of Justin Trudeau and the election of John Horgan. And it's that broke it. That's what's going to make the change. And so, well, it's perhaps easy to blame Gregor Robertson for getting into this. One of the mayoral candidates, what they're looking forward to is that they already have partners. Those partners are in place. So for them, I think they can look forward to a much rosier future, which I did ask Gregor Robertson why, now that he's got these partners, why didn't he stay on? And he's just kind of done.
Yeah, I mean, I remember talking to him about that soon after the NDP took power. I was talking to Gregor Robertson and about that, and he was explaining sort of the change. It was almost like 8 years into his mandate as the mayor of Vancouver that he felt like he had a positive relationship with those two levels of senior government. Finally, for the first time in like 20 years, the federal government had indicated they wanted to get back into the housing game and providing housing. They finally had a sympathetic ear in Victoria, which he said he hadn't had in a long time. And of course, in their particular case, they had probably a particularly sympathetic ear with Jeff Meggs, who was a founding member of Vision and a Vision counselor, leaving to go become Premier Horgan's chief of staff. And so Gregor Robertson was telling me about that, that they felt like they had finally this alignment of governments, but then it was short-lived in his tenure. And
well, I think the other thing that I think is interesting, if you going back to the mayoral candidates, with the exception really of Ken Sim, these are people who are running without a full slate. If they get elected as mayor, they're really only going to be kind of the chair of the meeting.
Vote out of 11 on council.
And so what's really important, and I think everyone sort of stresses about, oh, who's the mayor going to be? What's really more important is who's the council going to be?
Yeah.
And who are those councillors? How are they going to work together? How is the person sitting in the chair, who is chairing the committee meetings and chairing the council, how are they going to bring those people together? And, you know, for voters, and I look at this more from the perspective of a voter, how do we choose? How do you choose for whether to try and pick people who get along? But I don't think we entirely want them all to get along either. Mm. We've had a decade of getting along. I mean, Vision's had majority. And I think there's a need for a strong opposition. It's to strategically try and vote so you get an opposition is almost impossible. But I think, again, it goes back to you have to look at the quality of the people before you vote. You should make decisions based on their platforms. But I think you also have to try to get a sense of whether those are going to be people who will listen to each other and who will be willing to compromise. Because otherwise, and there are lots of people in the city that are already talking about this, we could have gridlock.
Yeah.
We could have gridlock in the city. And then at least as importantly, we could have gridlock in Vancouver. We could have gridlock in Surrey, the two biggest cities in the province. And ultimately, we could have gridlock at Metro Vancouver. That's 2.5 million people who may, for 4 years, have these huge fights going on where nothing gets done. And, you know, with all of these problems, they're not going to get better if somebody doesn't do something.
Yeah. I mean, there is that worry we're hearing about if, you know, it looks like no matter who gets elected to council or to the mayor's seat, it seems like there's a pretty good chance that no one party is going to have a majority. And it's been quite a while since that was the case in Vancouver anyways. So we may have a handful of independents in there, a couple Greens, a couple Vision, a couple NPA, maybe one city. Like you might have a real mix. Could have our first independent mayor in a long, long time. And so if you've got this patchwork instead of having one party with a majority, which is what we've seen for recent years – there is that worry that maybe nothing gets done. Conversely, and maybe this is a more optimistic, maybe a rosy colored view. Some people are saying maybe it'll be sort of a new era of consensus building and more kind of democratic, a more democratic approach to City Hall instead of a sort of government and opposition like we've seen for the last decade, where Vision's had a majority, NPA's been in that sort of de facto opposition role. Sometimes people have expressed concern. They say, oh, City Hall's not supposed to work that way. It's not supposed to be like a parliament. It's supposed to be a council of equals. And I mean, maybe that's wishful thinking. I don't know.
I think one of the things that's happened is I took a look at the demographic makeup of council. And the councils across the region pretty much don't reflect the people who live in them.
Yeah.
We've had a massive change. White people, to put it bluntly, are no longer the majority in many parts of this region. That is not the case at City Halls. And one of the things that I think is positive about what's having so many candidates is that there are a whole lot of people who don't feel at home in those old traditional parties. They feel that they don't belong there, that they have a different idea, or they have a different face, or they can't break into that party, because there's kind of like old Vancouver and there's new Vancouver. And I think when I look at all of, when I've been reading through the profiles of the counselors, there are a lot of people that have really interesting backgrounds. Mm-hmm. I spoke to Andy Yan, who from the city program at SFU, and you know, he said the majority has never been represented on the council in Vancouver. The majority being women. We've never had a majority of women on council. And when you start thinking that way, the idea that we get to choose, and we get to choose on the basis of a whole lot of things. And I think the other thing that is kind of reflective of, we are also in this period of time, we're also looking at whether or not proportional representation is something that we want. So there is an appetite amongst British Columbians to have a better way of representation. So if you want to have choice and you want to have representation that more closely aligns with your specific ideologies and values and whatever, this is a good chance for you to go and do that. Like, go and vote for those people that more closely represent what you believe in.
And as you say, there's never been a majority female city council in Vancouver, but it seems like, I mean, it's hard to predict, as this horse race is wide open, but it seems like there's a pretty good chance it could happen for the first time this time. The only three incumbent councillors that are running for re-election are all women: Melissa DeGenova from the NPA, Adrian Carr from the Greens, who was the top vote winner in the last election and widely expected to win again, and then Heather Deal, the only Envision incumbent running again. So with so few incumbents running for re-election, you'd think they would do pretty well. And then you've got some pretty high profile other candidates, like Jean Swanson is running with COPE. She very nearly won last year in the by-election, running as an independent in a really tight vote where the vote was split all along the left a lot of ways. So Jean Swanson is a big figure. Sarah Blythe is well known for a lot of the work she's done, and she's running as an independent. She also had previously served on the park board as a Vision park board commissioner. So you've got a lot of pretty high profile female candidates, and there's others as well. And then we also, as you have our chance to have Vancouver's first female mayor. Mm-hmm.
Not that I don't want to make it seem like, I don't think that women are inherently any better candidates that are better at running things, but it is just interesting to me that we've had a council in Vancouver, not so in Surrey. I mean, Surrey has had they had one council, they only had one man on it, and everybody wrote about that. Oh, isn't this amazing? There's a council with only one man. I mean, when we get to the point where we write about how extraordinary it is that we have only one woman and all men, then I think we'll get somewhere. But I do think, you know, it is really important too that again, because I work for a newspaper and you work for a newspaper called the Vancouver Sun, we tend to put so much emphasis on Vancouver. And I think what's happening out in Surrey people should really be watching that race closely on Saturday. What happens out there? They're in a transitional phase. Certainly it was started by Diane Watts to move it from a real kind of rural suburban kind of place to, this is a big city. Surrey is a big city. It's when you get off the SkyTrain at City Center, people who haven't done that should do that.
Yeah.
Surrey is the future of this region.
It'll be bigger than Vancouver pretty soon. It was not long till it'll be.
It's not just size. It's the center of the region. It's the geographic center. It's where people are. It's got room to expand. It's got room to grow. It's got room for jobs. And what happens in Surrey is going to a large extent determine the future of this region, much more than Vancouver. Vancouver is almost built out. Mm-hmm. What Surrey does is going to determine whether this region stays a vibrant place, stays an innovative place. And in many ways, there we should be looking to them to lead as Vancouver fades a little bit, although it's got the name.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like an interesting race. It seems like the top three candidates are former mayor Doug McCallum, who was the mayor, first elected mayor back in the 90s. And then you have Bruce Hain, who has recently split off from Surrey First Party that, as you say, came sort of became a dynasty under Diane Watson, then has run the city for more than a decade. And Bruce Hain has split off from that party to start his own party and run against Surrey First. And then Councillor Tom Gill is kind of carrying the torch for Surrey First. What do you make of that race? Do you know who's the front runner, or?
One of the problems is, you know, the good thing is in this election that we do have, there's been a change in the campaign financing. So we don't have this prospect that whoever gets elected will find out 6 months from now or 4 months from now that they were bought and paid for by developers or the gambling industry or whatever. The bad side of not having very much money is there's not very much polling being done. There's not very many signs. It's making it more difficult for voters to figure out who these people are because they haven't got enough money to tell you who they are. So I don't think anybody really has I'm not sure I'm going to put my $1 bet down on who's going to be mayor of Surrey. But again, I think it's very interesting that we have that split between old and new, that we have the split even within Surrey First, which again is kind of mirrors the splits that we've seen in traditional parties here. But what they do is going to be really important. And as somebody who, I don't vote in Surrey, I vote in Vancouver. I watch it with the same amount of interest that I watch the American election.
Now, there's one other, speaking of demographics, just to change back to Vancouver, there's one other interesting kind of demographic shift that we might see here potentially. You mentioned women make up the majority of the population, but I don't think there's never been a majority female council. Renters also make up the majority of the Vancouver population, and I think they've historically been underrepresented on Vancouver City Council. This year, we could have potentially a renter, a mayor who's a renter, which as far as I know would be the first time in a while. Kennedy Stewart rents in Vancouver. And I'm not sure about, oh, I think Hector, oh no.
Hector rents.
Hector does as well. There you go. So, and then, so Shauna Spencer lives in an equity co-op, I think, and Ken Sim owns. It's one of those weird things. I don't know if every city's like that, but in Vancouver, with housing so front of mind, it always comes up. I'm like, even at all these events where people first launch their mayoral bids, some reporters asking the question, do you rent, do you own? What neighborhood? It's a funny thing. Well, even at debates, it's come up as a question.
It's interesting, and one of the places that we should probably pay some attention to is San Francisco, and in San Francisco, they've had close to a decade, I think, of renters actually having the majority, and on council, and so many of the decisions that have been made there have been made in favor of renters. Which has caused problems as well. I mean, it starts to, I haven't looked closely enough at San Francisco. I've been there a number of times, and it hasn't solved their homelessness problem. Their homelessness problem is much, much worse than ours. Their numbers are much higher than ours are and growing at a faster rate than ours are. But it does skew it. I think really, we shouldn't want. I guess I'm kind of opposed to majorities. I actually prefer coalition. I think coalitions are good. I think strong oppositions are good. So, you know, I don't think we want people only making decisions based on the values of a you know, somebody who owns a single family home on the west side that doesn't want their neighborhood to change. But I don't think I would like to see only renters who are making decisions either. I think we need a mix. I think we need a mix in just so many ways, because all of us, what we know from corporations that have diversity on their boards, their board of directors, is that diversity brings better decisions. They make better decisions because they bring to the table a whole different experience and people experience things differently. You and I could walk down the same street at night and you could feel safe and I wouldn't. And yeah. Those are the kinds of, and I mean, that's kind of a dramatic example, but there are those examples. I mean, renters know far better. Like, I mean, it's quite shocking to me that the average rent of a one bedroom apartment in Vancouver is $1,200 a month. If you earn
it's more than that. Well,
if you earn the minimum wage, that's your entire paycheck before tax. That's your before tax paycheck gone.
Yeah, I think.
And I think when people who are making decisions about housing at City Hall, they need to not just know that, not just have that statistic somewhere in the back of their head. Sometimes you need to viscerally know that. You need to have that as a lived experience to make that a priority for you.
Yeah, I think in a perfect world, a good council would be a mix of, you know, along gender lines, ethnically, geographically. You know, I mean, I think the southern part of Vancouver is often sort of forgot about to some extent, especially the southeastern part of Vancouver in coverage and in council discussion. A mix in terms of age would be nice. You don't want to have a council where it's all sort of older people or all younger people. It'd be nice to have a mix of institutional experience.
Well, but let's not forget that Gregor Robertson was 44 when he was elected. He was a young mayor.
Yeah.
And he kind of grew. Andrea Reimer was, I think, one of the youngest city councilors ever elected.
Yeah. So it's nice to have a, but I mean, when she was elected, she was one of the younger councilors on.
Right.
And so it's nice
right.
to have a mix, I think.
Yeah. I only say that in the sense that there has been some talk about this generational change. And I think generational change is true in some of the municipalities. But I'm not sure that in Vancouver that we've really had a stodgy old council for a long time. I mean, we collectively voted for a pretty young council 10 years ago. And the aged in place.
10 years ago, but yeah, they're
exactly.
Most of them are still there. Yeah,
yeah.
Which and it just
yeah,
not
yeah.
Nothing against that, but
we haven't talked about the ethnic makeup, and
yeah.
I think that's important too. I mean, particularly since one of the things that the Vision Council did was they were the first in North America to bring in this empty homes tax.
Yeah,
and. You know, we have a provincial government that is taxing on the basis of where you're from, and I think again we need to have that kind of diversity on council. I think we need to have people who again are hearing different stories, who've lived different and who may be connected to that community in a way that other people aren't.
Which community? The community?
The like, Chinese I mean, community.
Okay, the, but I mean, the empty Chinese homes community. Tax is. It targets people who own multiple homes.
Yeah.
So you're not going to have counselors who don't live in Vancouver.
No, I'm not saying that. But if you're a Mandarin speaking counselor, yeah. You're going to be hearing different stories than somebody who's a non-Mandarin speaking counselor because
sure.
You're going to be able to talk to another group of people who are homeowners. But I just think that diversity is important. Not on any particular issue, but it also speaks to we have a lot of immigrants who are coming to Vancouver. What kind of a city do they want? What kind of a city do immigrants want in Surrey? I mean, we create cities for people, we want the immigrants to stay here. I mean, we invite immigrants to this country. We want them to become good citizens. How do we create cities for them? I think we need to have councillors and mayors who keep that in mind as well.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, it should be an interesting election. I really don't know what's going to happen on Saturday.
Well, it is going to be interesting. We're going to see massive change. Hopefully it's change for the better. And I think, again, I just want to, I think we should stress that it's really important that people go out and vote.
Vote.
And if you don't know, 10 councillors to vote
yeah.
for, or if you don't know however many park board members to vote, just then vote for the ones you know, but go
yeah.
out and vote.
Yeah. Everyone, vote. Thank you, Daphne.
My pleasure.